It's kind of my first talk for the new year, and I wanted to sketch out for us the year ahead, and I need as much help as possible this morning, all right? And one of the reasons is because, as you'll be hearing, a few of us have been away on a mini cruise to Hamburg, of all places. And it's, has anybody ever been on a cruise? Well, I've got this feeling like the ground is still moving around under my feet. It's bizarre. It's really bizarre. And you know, I was fine on the ship, and when I got off the ship, suddenly it started moving anyway. Strange. Now, when you go on a cruise, you expect the captain in charge of the ship to know what he's doing and where he's going. He's got some orders, and he's following orders, but, you know, he really is supposed to know what he's doing. And if he doesn't, he can end up with a bit of a mess. I took that photograph yesterday. If you could just about see that. That's on the way in on the Solent. That's the cargo vessel that's sort of turned over and has got, I think, literally billions of pounds worth of luxury cars on board. And not anymore. And it's a bit of a mess, really. So you can end up going severely off beam, really. And one of the words for church leadership in the New Testament is the word for steering a ship. Steering a ship. And so as we begin the new year, as the person who's kind of under God given principal responsibility for helping to steer the All Saints ship, I want to try and share with you where I hope we'll be going, at least to a certain extent this year. And I'd like to give you due warning when this happens. This won't be one of my shorter sermons, okay? But I'm going to try and describe where I hope we're going to get to in 2015 and how we're going to get there. And I don't know all the answers, but I spent quite a long time thinking and praying about this, and I want to share some of these insights with you. And I can't be absolutely certain of what God's going to do, but I am certain that it's going to be exciting and stretching for us as the church in Swanage, and especially for that part of the church, which is All Saints here. So I want to quickly look at where we've come from, then look at the course I believe we've been given by the Lord. And I want to share some key words and scriptures with you. And especially I want to revisit some ideas that came out of the day together, because our church had a day together on the 4th of October. And I've been praying and looking over the various things that emerged from that. So first of all, where have we come from? Hopefully most of you will remember that in September, October last year, I shared that I believe that God was changing our direction as a church subtly. First of all, from a vision for All Saints to a vision for the church as a whole in Swanage. And secondly, a change from a church focus to a kingdom focus. And remember, the kingdom of God is not a political institution or geographical area. It's the rule or reign of God. And I believed that God had spoken prophetically. Some members of our church went to a conference in July, I think it was, and we felt that God had promised that he was going to move in power in the whole area of Purbeck, that he said he was nearly there, and he said, I can see a beach community. I believe God is saying the methods you would use in a town or a city won't work for the beach community. You need to seek God for creative ideas to reach out to your community. So that's where we've come from. So where do we go from here? Well, it's easy to get lost, isn't it? Easy to get into a blind alley. I'm in danger of mixing metaphors here, but it's easy to get things wrong. So let's try and get ourselves orientated properly by looking at the Word of God, and let's have a look. It might be helpful if you've got Isaiah 61 on page 748, because we'll be referring to that a little bit. And scholars dispute as to exactly when these words were written, but what is clear is that they were written to a bunch of people in exile. They were at the bottom of the heap. People who believed that they were God's chosen people, but they had seen catastrophe. And the catastrophe was that they had walked away from God, and the promise of this is that in the near future, they would see their beloved capital city, Jerusalem, conquered, their king taken into captivity, the temple destroyed, the people would be sent into exile and captivity themselves. And this was a group of people who knew all about the promises of God, but had not been living in the light of those promises. And so they were emotionally and spiritually flat on their back. And this is the point where God says, through the prophet Isaiah, that in future times there would be a hope and a promise for you. And he said, what God is saying through Isaiah is, look, I've got something better for you. Instead of captivity, they'll be released. Instead of blindness, there'll be sight. Instead of poverty, there'll be riches. Instead of captivity, there'll be freedom. And this has something to say to us today. Jesus chose this passage for the first sermon that is recorded from him in the New Testament. It's in Luke chapter 4, and he chose to speak about it when he went to his hometown, Nazareth. And what is God saying here? And the first thing I believe that God says is saying through us is, look, we need to recover our self-confidence, or rather our God confidence, because the Lord does have amazing plans for us. And we need to focus on those plans and be prepared to be part of them. What are they? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now, this message is directed in different directions. First of all, the person who seems to be speaking there is Isaiah. He's aware of God speaking through him. But then Jesus appropriates these words in Luke chapter 4. But I also think the Lord is speaking to us. He's speaking to us. And something, you know, something that Jesus is doing is something that he was doing then, is something he expects to happen in our own lives. He's expecting us to be bringing in his kingdom. This is his kingdom. And he's expecting us to be bringing in his kingdom and bring his kingdom into the lives of others. And there's some wonderful promises here. Verse 4, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Rebuilding the ancient ruins. What if you've ever thought about any ancient ruins hanging around? That really reminds me of the church in England, you know? Now, actually, I think the last year, we've had a really good year in the church in Swanage. It's been a great year. It's been a really good year. And we've seen some really good stuff happening. In our own fellowship, we've seen some people added to us. We started to grow slowly. We've had some great alpha courses in the church in Swanage. Some really good open-air events. Look at the Wave. Christmas has been good. You look at the church in the UK, that looks like a big ancient ruin to me. The Church of England is an even more ancient ruin, you know? The Church of England is continuing to decline numerically, actually. And the church as a whole is declining in numbers and influence. And often the church seems flat on its back. But what this passage says is, if you grasp the promises of God, the future doesn't need to be like that. Because actually, even in the UK, really key parts of the church are growing. The live church, the living church, is continuing to grow. For example, did anybody see that? That was the 13th of September last year. Daily Echo Bournemouth had a bad church experience. Come and give us a try, says Bournemouth's newest church. Do you know what that is? That's St. Swithin's church. It's a Holy Trinity Brompton plant. Now, Holy Trinity Brompton have carried out the most extraordinary church planting experiment in the history of, well, certainly the 20th century and now the 21st century. And they've planted 30, 40 churches at least in the London area in the last 20, 30 years or so. And now, bishops who are desperate for life in their churches are going to HTB and saying, would you please come and plant a church? The Bishop of Winchester said to HCB, can you come and plant a church in Bournemouth? So that's what they've done. They've taken a church which was redundant, St. Swithin's Church, and they've put a worshipping community in there. And what they do is they ask people to come along and commit to that church for a period of a year, and they plant a church. Hundreds going along there. In fact, Jess is going. Jess Clark is going along there now and really loving it. I was talking to her about it just a couple of days ago. Really loving it. Happening all over the place. The Bishop of Lincoln has asked HDB to plant a church. There's also a church down in the Diocese of Chichester, Brighton, all sorts of places. And other live church organisations are doing it too. I think All Souls is planting churches. St Helen's Bishopsgate is planting churches. You see, the Church of England is not dead. There might be lots of dead bits in it, but there are lots of live parts too. Really exciting. God has plans to rebuild the ancient ruins and wants us to be part of that. And then it says, verse 6, you'll be called priests of the Lord. You'll be named ministers of our God. Okay, memory test. What was our verse of the year, 2014?
We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, that only nation.
Fantastic.
We are the God, that we may declare the praises of him who brought us out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Give that man a round of applause. Well done, Peter. Fantastic. You see, God has promised if we embrace who God wants us to be, we embrace our priesthood. We're all priests, remember, that I'm not a special priest. We're all priests. If you're a believer, you're a priest. Okay? We have a mission. We have an obligation. We have a calling to minister to those who don't know Jesus. That's what our obligation is. Okay? And it's amazing. We can pass on blessing. Verse 7, instead of your shame, you'll receive a double portion. We can be passing on this. Instead of disgrace, you'll rejoice in your inheritance. Everlasting joy will be yours. And I believe that involves new birth, you know? It involves new birth. Verse 9, their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. We'll go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. We'll see new birth, we'll see new baby Christians. Fantastic. All who see them, says in verse 9, will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. But actually, this involves two things. First of all, a commitment to justice and holiness. Verse 8, God says, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. And secondly, a commitment to praise and worship. Those two things go together, righteousness and worship. Verse 11, the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before the nations. Verse 10, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. So look, I'm genuinely optimistic about the future of the church. Not because I'm an upbeat, kind of optimistic kind of person, but because I believe that God's promises mean that we have really good stuff in front of us. So how's it going to work out in practice? Well, a lot of people come and share things with me, and I love it when people come and share things with me. I really want to. God doesn't only speak to the vicar. Thank God God doesn't only speak to the vicar. He speaks to the whole body of Christ, all right? So if you feel God's spoken to you, come and share it with me, okay? And share it with the prophetic team, particularly with Anne, as Anne over there, and Pauline. Where's Pauline? There's Pauline over there. Okay, they're the leads of the prophetic team. Share it with them. Share it with me. But sometimes the Lord shares things with people, and it's passed on to me, that seem particularly strategic. And I want to share several of them with you this morning. And first, two words are from someone who's quite new to our fellowship, but who does know how to hear from God. And this was the word that was given to her just before Christmas, about 2015. It will be the year of increase. It's talking about this little fellowship, all right? This will be the year of increase. And she said this, I asked myself, are we ready to receive the people God wants to send us? Could be a testing time for us all. Are we prepared to wipe noses and change nappies? Changes in the air. And then she said, when I started to come to All Saints, I was very touched by the love and acceptance I received. All Saints is a very loving and caring church, which is what we need to show to any new people who will come. I feel God will be watching us as to how we respond to these dear people. It's interesting. So the Lord will send people to us, but we've got to respond in the right way. And I'm completely up for new people to come into our church, but we can't expect them to be any neater, more sorted out, any more respectable, or any more polite and wonderful than we were when we came into the kingdom of God. Because all of us all look very nice and neat and smart here, sitting here in church, but we all know that we've got histories that God needed to sort out. We've got to be binding up the brokenhearted, you know. We've got to do that. People who've been in captivity need to be received with love, grace, and acceptance, as indeed God received us with love, grace, and acceptance. So, in the year ahead, you might say, well, how can I be involved? And I don't know how you can be involved specifically, except to say this. If you're asked to do something, please don't say yes out of guilt. Please don't say yes just to please the vicar. Check it out with the Lord. But why not be asking the Lord, is there any reason why I shouldn't do this? Why shouldn't I join in? Why shouldn't I pick up that particular baton? Why shouldn't I grasp that particular nettle? Let's go for it. Last Sunday morning, the same person had another word from Isaiah 61, interestingly enough. And the word was this. This is the year of release of many people. Release. See? So the people who come are going to need release. And actually, some of us might need some releasing, you know? Some of us might be in various states of bondage, various states of captivity, even though everything looks kind of nice on the surface. And we need to be prepared to open ourselves to what God has for us to be released. But we should also expect God to move in releasing people and in using us to do so. I was given two more words last Sunday morning, and those of you who were here heard the first one. It came from Alice. Alice's not here, as you know. She's gone back to university. It was this. Believe. We need to believe with our hearts and confess with our tongues. So let this be the year for confessing his glory to the nations. Let's get back to Isaiah 61 again, you see. Is Isaiah 61 coming up again? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And a key part of this is going to be in our praise and worship. Because last Sunday, as a visitor came up to me immediately after that and gave a final word. The way to reach the community is through joy. It's through joy that people are attracted. And that's got something to say about our praise and worship, hasn't it? When people come into church and see God's people worshiping together. Back to verse 10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in God my Savior. Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Okay, so how are we going to do this in practice? Well, here we are. We've had our last verse of the year. I can press the button. There we are. That was it. 2014. Okay, this is the verse of the year for this year. Hopefully. There we are. I've got some nice little bookmarks for you. One for everyone here. Don't know if you can read it, but I'll read it to you. It's just 1915 to 2015 because this year, all saints, is 100 years old. How about that? 100 years old. This is the verse. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. This is the real key words. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. See, if we don't fix our eyes on Jesus, we'll go off track as a fellowship, as individual Christians. And we don't want to do that, do we? We do not want to do that. And that means focusing on Jesus, putting our spiritual armor on day by day. And, you know, we all need a bit of spiritual spring cleaning, especially at the beginning of the year. We need to kind of take stock of our lives. We need to keep asking the Lord for healing, not just physical healing. Ask the Lord to just go through us. Is there any unresolved stuff, you know, that you need to deal with? Now's the time to bring it before the Lord. And then all the way through the year, just like Claire was sharing, we need to be listening out for the trainer who's in the corner of the boxing ring saying, come on, Andrew, I want you to do this. Come on, go that way, go that way. And in the shouts of the boxing match, in the noisiness of life, we can then hear what God has to say. If we don't unencumber ourselves, we won't be able to hear anything. You know, it'll just be a massive white noise. But if we learn to discard the stuff that drags us down, and we focus and learn to focus on Jesus, we'll be able to hear his voice. Okay, how about us as a body of people? We had that word about being a beach community, finding inventive ways to reach our community. And we met together on the 4th of October, and there were lots of ideas. I prayed them through. And the first thing I began to, the first question I began to ask myself is, who are we trying to reach? And as I read through the feedback on the 4th of October, there was about a beach community. There was a lot of talk about ministering to visitors and visiting to people on the beach and beach missions and all this kind of stuff, open air worship, holiday makers. Well, let me be specific and a bit controversial about this. I don't believe as a fellowship we are trying primarily to reach holiday makers or visitors. I just don't think we are. And interestingly enough, I put this to Ted, who ministered in Southsea for many years, and he said, I agree with you. I tried to do that too, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I'm not trying to discourage people from visiting. It's nice to see visitors. Please keep coming if you're a visitor. You're very welcome here. But actually, realistically, if you come for a week, if you stay for a week, the chances of God impacting your life through us are pretty unlikely. Much more likely that God will impact the life of a visitor when they go home. Okay? Our focus and mission is on the people who live here all the time. What the Lord meant by that a beach community, he just meant the community that we live in, which is different from a large town or a suburb, where actually geographically we're slightly isolated, aren't we? We're kind of like the end of the road, and we can't go any further back than the sea. You know, we've only got 180 worth of surroundings rather than 360 degrees. Okay, so that's what our primary calling is to the people who live here 52 weeks of the year. And by all means, you know, let's have a beach mission, but let's get Scripture Union down to do it. I mean, I don't mind putting them up, you know. Let's encourage them, but it's not our primary calling. The next thing we need to do is distinguish between what we do as a fellowship and what we do with the rest of the church in Swanage. And what we do as a fellowship, I think, are this. Activities based in this building. We've been given this building, and we're happy to lend it out. And it's being used by the Bible Society on Wednesday. But actually, what we have to focus on as a fellowship is what happens in this building or based in this local area. What we do on Sunday mornings, and particularly ways to build up and teach the body of Christians who are here. What do we do with the other Christians, with the rest of the church? Everything else. Everything else. But I've discovered something about the nature of unity. I used to think the word is ecumenism, which is a fairly complicated Greek word. And I used to think it was all about signing covenants and agreements and statements of faith and all this kind of stuff. And I also used to think it was all about agreeing about everything. And that's not the case. It's not the case. The Wave is a really good case in point. And basically, it started off with just Matt and me, wasn't it? We just kind of got on with it. And then we said, well, people join in. Loads of people said, yeah, let's join in. So everyone joined in. And that's how it happened. See, not every Christian will want to be involved in what God is doing or in every initiative. Not every fellowship will want to be involved in every initiative. Not everybody will agree in every aspect of theology. We had to sit down and agree a theological statement, we'd be here forever and nothing would ever get done. So what I've discovered is that if we believe that God is calling us to do something with other Christians, we run it past the local ministers, get their approval to it, and just get on and do it. And then people just say, that's a good idea, can I join in? You know, what is God doing? Well, let's just join in. That's the way things get done. I've discovered that here. We just need to be open-hearted, single-minded, have nice kind of open doors to people to come in and join, and other Christians to come in and join. And that's what the kingdom of God being built through the whole church, that is all about. So what should we be doing as a fellowship and as a church, as the whole church in Swanage? Well, I've been through the replies and comments from our day together. And, of course, we can't do everything. We can't do everything as a fellowship, and the church can't do everything. It's much better for us to do a few things well than a lot of things badly, and we need to get the timing right. So, if we just look at what we do as a fellowship here, what do we do, and what do we do well? Well, let me give you some examples. Coffee pot. Okay, coffee pot, by the way, is a thing we do on Thursdays for elderly people, quite isolated people. We do that really well. Okay, I mean, I've been to Coffee Pot a few times. Coffee's great. I managed to persuade you to have real coffee rather than instant coffee now. And and it's smiling, but, you know, and it's lovely. You know, there's real relationships happening there. Okay, toddlers. Okay, I spoke to a number of mums who spontaneously said to me about toddlers, it's the best toddler group in the area. Breakfast at 9. 53 people there at breakfast at 9 this morning, lots of whom would never normally be at church. Sunday services, I like to think they're pretty good. And we need to keep working away, always. You always keep looking at the way we do Sunday services. But we've got some really good preachers. Even occasionally I can preach an occasionally good sermon too. And great worship and great, you know, organists and everything. It's great. Home groups, really good. I'd like to see more of us in home groups. Come back to that in a minute. But really great. And we've done some really great outreach events in the last year. The Fun Day, the Community Cafe and Car Wash, Farm Church. We didn't have the barn activity last year, but we will be this year, hopefully. Christmas. All those things are primarily kind of focused on the building or Sunday mornings. We don't want to drop them. I'll tell you what I would like us to see us doing. We don't want to be doing loads more things, but I'd like us to do those things with a bit more intentionality. First of all, just let's ask ourselves, how can we make them better? What I mean by that is, how can we use them to reach people who don't know Jesus a bit better? How can we bring the kingdom of God more into what's going on and into people's lives? How can we do that? How can we reach people more effectively? Doesn't mean to say everything we do has to be characterized by ruthless evangelism, grabbing people by the lapels and saying, are you saved, brother? Are you washed in the blood? You know, we don't have to do all that. But actually, if we aren't trying to reach people for Jesus, then when we stand before God, we'll have some answers. You know, he's gonna want to know what have we been doing, you know? So if you take Coffee Pot, okay, I'll come and talk to Anne and so on and Sheila and so on about Coffee Pot. Great means of contact. Can we find a way of reaching more people and drawing more people in? Can we be praying through a bit more the people who are there? Can we start with prayer? I don't know, you know, I'm just talking about things like that. Can we be praying for the individuals specifically in advance? Somebody mentioned, or a number of people suggested on the 4th of October last year, that we did a bit of computer training and cyber cafe in Coffee Pot. And I know Emmanuel are already doing that, but actually some people don't make it to Emmanuel. Is that something we want to be doing at Coffee Pot? I don't know. How about toddlers praying more intentionally to drawing more and more people into that, more mums and dads and carers into that, and then encouraging them onto breakfast at 9. Suzanne's art group on Friday mornings. Let's be praying into Suzanne's art group. So I don't think we need to be doing lots of new things as a church, you know, but we need to really work out, you know, how can we do what we're doing even better? There's something, though, I'd like us to get each one of us to get involved in if you're a regular committed member of this church, and I'll be writing to everyone. And I can press the button. Think. Yep. Life on the front line. Now, I'll be writing to each one of you about this. It's going to start in February, and it's a 6-week course developed by the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, which is a great organization. In fact, I think it was founded by John Stott probably about 20 years ago. It's called Life in the Frontline. And what is the front line? Well, what the front line is this. It's kind of where we are as Christians outside the building. So it might be helping at Coffee Pot. It might be working in a school. It might be going into schools. It might be working in a shop. It might be being down on the farm, like Claire, wherever it is, okay? We need to see that those places are where God has called us, and we need to be more effective Christians there. That's the important thing, because most people won't bother to come through the doors of a church. And so this is a course for small groups helping us, designed to help us live faithfully and fruitfully in the daily places of life. So it's looking at, you know, what is my front line? Why does it matter? What happens when life gets difficult there? How can our church activities equip us to serve God on the front line? How does our front line shape our prayers? How do we sustain our commitment to one another? Those kind of things. And it'll go 6 weeks. The home groups are going to be doing it, but I'd actually like everyone to do this. We're going to be having more in small groups, morning, afternoon, or evening, weekly or fortnightly. Now, I know not everybody gets on with small groups, but I'd really like you to do it for 6 weeks. Could you do it for me for 6 weeks? I'll be writing to you. Just give it a go. Give it a go. And it's just, there'll be a little short film, then there's going to be discussion and about various aspects of the Bible. Okay. Well, I've been talking about some things that we can do as a fellowship, but what about some things that we can be doing with other Christians? And the first thing that came out clearly on the 4th of October was bereavement support. Some people in this fellowship are really called to bereavement support. Now, you might be surprised to hear that in a town with a large number of elderly people, many of whom are widows, there's no bereavement group. Can you believe that? I can't believe it, really. In this church, I think we're the only church that does any bereavement follow-up at all. That's really designed for people, individuals who are referred to us. But there used to be a bereavement group in Swanage. There isn't one now, which is extraordinary. But there are some people here who are really called to that. I know who they are. Wouldn't it be brilliant if the churches as a whole took this on? I'm not suggesting this should just be an All Saints initiative. Just think, we need to start it, bring it to the attention of the other churches, set it up, and just watch God start it, you know? And it would be fantastic to come alongside those who've lost close friends and family, spouses and so on. Can't do it on our own, but we can spearhead it and encourage other Christians to join us. Second, youth work. For those who are visitors, that is the WAVE logo. The WAVE is the Ecumenical, the Interchurch Youth Work Project. And for the last year, we've been focusing on youth, in other words, those over 10. We're now, in starting now, we're looking at under 10s as well. So it's going to be children and youth. We can only do this together. We can only do this together, and the WAVE needs more volunteers. It needs more volunteers, folks. And as Matt always says, you don't need to be able to ride a skateboard to do youth work. That's right. So, you know, you don't need to be able to ride a skateboard to make hot chocolate or move furniture around or cut up healthy snacks for Tetra. Apparently, they have healthy snacks, etc., rather than chocolate and stuff. Okay, it just needs more more volunteers, and it needs more prayer support. Okay, we gave out a couple of weeks ago a little sheet, and on the back of your lovely new style notice sheet today, ta-da, back focus on the WAVE. Please take it away and pray into it. There's also a wonderful way in which you can be involved, if you wanted to, in bringing the Bible into schools. Open the Book. Open the Book is an initiative of the Bible Society, and we are hoping to get Open the Book into Swanage schools. And basically what Open the Book does is it does a kind of sketch. It's a way of using sketches to tell the Bible story from front to back, from Genesis through to Revelation. And a new group is starting up. They've already started doing some training. If you'd like to be involved in that, have a word with Andrea Pratt, who's not here. Is she not here this morning? No, she's not here this morning. But anyway, have a word with Ted, or Paul probably knows about it. Paul Beckson will know about it. Okay, next. Healing. That really came out clearly on the 4th of October. And, of course, we pray for people in All Saints, and if you would like prayer for any reason, please come along at the end of the service, and the ministry team will be here to pray for you. But we need to carry Christ's mission to heal out on the streets, because he didn't heal many people in the synagogues. He healed most people out in the streets. So, really, really important. And David Haynes, who led our prayers this morning, Dr. David Haynes, is really keen for us as church in Swanage to do that. Now, we can't do that on our own, okay? But I'm really keen that this year we do set up a healing group across the churches, to get out meeting people and ministering God's healing. And that, you know, it's really important. that we do that. That's a key part, not only of bringing wholeness and health to people, but also ministering the gospel and evangelism. A lot of people can become Christians through healing. And then we need to really build up our knowledge of God's word. And you might say, well, of course I do that because I go to home group and I go to church and I listen to the sermons and all the rest of it. Okay, but actually, we need to really, really get involved in this book in a really serious way. You know, we need to really start to devour it. And the next year, or this coming year, hopefully, I'm hoping that there's going to be a Swanage Bible School. A school of the word for people who are serious about getting involved in the Bible. Very early stages, we're still talking about this, but we need to get equipped for everything else God wants us to do by getting involved in this book. We need to know how to use the sword of the Spirit if we're going to be starting to get into serious spiritual warfare. Okay. Evangelism. Because everything we do as a fellowship should have the aim of bringing people to Christ. Several things to mention, though. First of all, we're going to do another Alpha. And do let me know if you'd like to do Alpha with us, or you have people who you know you'd like to invite. But actually, there were two other ideas that leapt out of the 4th of October, really. When I looked through everything, two things seemed very clear. The first one was a film club. All Saints Film Club, or Swanage Church's Film Club, maybe. We show a film, like 12 Years a Slave, for example. And we talk about it. Really good way to encourage people to meet with other Christians and to talk about the issues that movies show up. Some really good things to do that. And the other thing is reaching men. It's often quite difficult to reach men, but I think there are two really good ways to reach men, and that is sport and pubs. That's our nearest. Matt nods there. Now, Brian Pavitt, is really good friends with the guy who's just taken over the Crow's Nest just down the road. That's our nearest pub. And he's really keen to work with us. What an opportunity. What an opportunity to get some blokes in there to watch important games, whatever it is, have a drink, and talk about stuff. Really great opportunity. So we're definitely going to do that. But, you know, sometimes people ask really difficult questions like, okay, why did 12 people get killed in Paris last week? They ask questions like that. Why did Boko Haram just destroy 16 villages in Nigeria a few days ago? I bet you didn't hear about that. Terrible. Why did these things happen? So sometimes we need to be ready. Peter says always be ready to make a defense of the hope that's in you. All right? So we need to maybe do a bit of training on apologetics. Apologetics means thinking through objections to the gospel and answering them intellectually, not just saying, oh, well, this verse says this. Obviously, use the Bible, but actually also it's worthwhile thinking through reasons why there is suffering. You know, what happens to people who've never heard the gospel? How do we bring the kingdom of God in social justice terms? All that kind of thing. So, great. We're going to be having a look at some apologetics issues as well. I'm not quite sure how we're going to fit those in, but we will be doing that. Now, finally, we have a number of big dates coming up this year. You don't need to write them all down. I'm going to give you a little piece of paper in a week or so with this. Almost every opportunity, almost every one of these dates, rather, is an opportunity to invite somebody along to an event and introduce them to Jesus. Because each one will contain a gospel element. We won't be kind of ramming it down people's throats, but we will be making plain that, you know, there is a gospel that we believe, and it's a great place to be part of. So, just to tell you what we're going to be doing. 15th of March, breakfast at 10, in here on Mother's Day, which will be fun. So, massive breakfast at 9, but at 10 o'clock, okay? 28th of March, it's Palm Sunday, Saturday, if that makes sense. They know it's Saturday before Palm Sunday. We're going to do the community cafe and car wash. And this year, Ro and Karen are going to be heading that up. But we're going to need lots of help making cakes and looking after children and doing craft and washing cars and stuff. Good Friday, the 3rd of April, I'm hoping. It's still in the process of being written. But David, our very own David Nunn, is writing an Easter play. And I'm hoping that on Good Friday, we will be producing the play here on the 3rd of April. And then, of course, on the 5th of April, it is Easter itself. And then the 24th to 26th of April, it's our centenary. We've got a kind of weekend away at home, and Bishop Graham, that little cross means bishop, Bishop Graham Kings is coming. And he's our local bishop. He's a really great guy, you know, loves Jesus, loves the gospel, loves the Bible, and he's a great person to help us celebrate our centenary. So do come along to that. And then, 30th of May, we're going to have another fun day. Tim is going to Tim Silker is going to organize another fun day out here on our lawn. So please get involved in that. And again, you can invite people along to that. It says a June farm church, but ignore that. We're not doing farm church in June. But on the 26th of July, we've got the carnival opening service, which will be great. And on the 2nd to the 8th of August, we've got New Wine. Now, I'm going to go to New Wine this year, and I'd really encourage you to think about coming either for a few days or just for a day, just to experience it. There's nothing like going to an event like New Wine where you've got thousands of people worshipping God, singing the kind of songs that we sing Sunday by Sunday, but just so many of them. There's loads of seminars. There's fantastic opportunities to find out more about the gospel, really be built up and equipped. It's really great. And then on the 30th of September, so we're going to have Farm Church, not in June, but in September, and we're going to have our harvest again. Now, there are two kind of little things I'll mention to you, which are kind of personal, really, to me. One is that actually 26th of July is my very significant birthday. So around that time, I'm not quite sure when it's going to be, but we're going to have a mega party for the whole church to which you're all invited. So I'll tell you more about that when we get a little bit nearer, but hopefully, if we can kind of sort it out, it's going to be at Claire Andrews Farm, which will be wonderful. And then you'll be so pleased to hear this. You're going to get rid of me for about 3 months because I'm going on a sabbatical. Going on a sabbatical probably from about the end of August to the end of November, something like that. And this isn't just a jolly. The plan is that I go and do something useful. I'm not quite sure. I've got a number of plans, but I haven't finalized them yet. But we've got a great team of leaders and preachers, and I know the church is in really good hands. And you're wonderful people. And, you know, God's provided more than sufficient people to see you can easily do without the vicar. Who knows? You know, you might say, actually, when I get back, you might say, oh, we don't need you, Andrew. Push. No, hopefully you won't do that. And then 6th of December, Christingle. And then hopefully we'll have the stable nativity up at Goldiston on the 13th of December. And then we thought on the 20th of December, that's the Sunday before Christmas, we're going to have breakfast at 10 again. And we'll have our toddlers and breakfast at 9 nativity play. How about that? It should be fun, wouldn't it? That would be great. And then we've got the carol service and we've got Christmas itself at the end of December. So there you are. Look, those are masses of opportunities for us to bring people along just to experience what church is about, and they'll hear the gospel. Each one of those events, they'll hear the gospel. We're not just out looking on ourselves, we need to present Jesus. And those are, if you like, guest services. Each one of those is guest services. Please bring your friends along. People come to Christ because they see something attractive. So we want to present Christ as attractively as possible. Goodness, there's a lot there, isn't there? We don't have to do all of it, but I'm hoping we'll do most of it. We don't all have to do all of it, but I hope all of us will do some of it. You see? Look, if you wonder what we're doing as a church for the next year, go and read Isaiah 61 again and say to God, involve me. Involve me. Tell me which bit you want to involve me in. Because the Lord wants to involve every person here who comes to this church. He wants to involve each one of us. He doesn't want people left on the sidelines. Do you remember when Paul talks about the body of Christ? He says, don't start saying, I don't need that person, or I don't need that person. I don't need that bit, or I don't need that bit. If you're a member of this church, you're a key member of the body of Christ, and you will have a key ministry which only you can carry out. You don't have to be qualified. You don't have to be articulate. You don't have to be a vicar. You don't have to wear a dog collar. Nothing like that. God has a ministry for you. What we need to do is go and seek God as to what it will be. And, you know, I'm just really excited. The more I thought about this, the more I prayed about this, the more I read Isaiah 61, I thought, goodness, it's going to be exciting this year. And I just couldn't, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I tell you, two people who completely encouraged me, and I'll embarrass them, and that's Pam and Mike. And Pam and Mike, last year, thought about moving, didn't you? And Mike said to me, we thought about moving, and we just thought we didn't want to be anywhere else. We want to be involved in what God's going to do here. How exciting is that? How fantastic is that? And that's actually so for all of you. God wants you all involved. He wants me involved. Even though he can dispense with me for 3 months, he wants us all involved. Question is, are we going to go for it? What are we going to do? Run the race with perseverance and fix our eyes on Jesus. And it's a piece of cake. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for bringing us where we've come from and bringing us to this point. But Lord, we're not satisfied standing still where we are. And Lord, we thank you for the amazing gift of the ministry that you've given us to preach good news, to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to bring release to the captives. And Lord, I pray that you use every person here to do that. And Lord, I pray you deliver us from the tendency to say, I'm not part of that. It doesn't mean me. God can't mean me. Lord, I pray that you speak by your Spirit to each one of us and show us what it is you want us to do. So this is a good moment just to be quiet before God, ask his Holy Spirit to come and start speaking. So Holy Spirit, I pray you come now upon each one of us and speak powerfully to each one of us as to what it is you want us to do in this next year. I think there are some people here who say, he doesn't mean me. So Lord, I really pray that you speak to those people who are doubtful about your call on their lives. And Lord, I pray you speak into their hearts that you mean even them. In fact, you mean especially them. Father God, we offer you our lives. We offer you the life and the ministry of this fellowship. We offer you the life and the ministry of the whole church in Swanage. And Lord, we ask that you make us equal to the ministry and blessing that you want for us. Speak powerfully into our lives, we pray, and transform our town for Jesus. Amen.